Amen. Well, glory to God. Yeah, they were working. They all tightening that we've been dealing with this nature. We've been dealing with the adaptive nature. Most of the time I'll be reading from the screens today. Because I got up to study this morning and I just absolutely could not focus on my scriptures in my Bible. So we're going to just do what we can do and do the best we can.
Amen.
We find ourselves in a battle, in a fight for basically our lives as we know it. And what I mean by as a battle and a lot for our lives, because things that we are dealing with are trying to separate us from things that we enjoy or things that give us that type of life that we have learned to appreciate. And these things that we battle against, most things are coming from within. And that's what we've been focusing on the last couple of weeks, that our battle is coming from within. We'd like to look to without, but it's not coming from without, it's coming from within. What we need to understand is that the old man, Adam, that we've been dealing with, and I had kind of got away from it, which was a big mistake and left it up to the other pastors. And God checked me about it, so I needed to get back on it because it was important. You see, I'd be writing on everything now. Look at that. I couldn't find my notes this morning, Mother Rose, because I couldn't remember what I wrote them on. Shit, I was tearing the table up. I said, because I thought I had wrote them in a notebook. My sister Carla, I thought I wrote them. I said, where's the notebook at? So I said, you know, sit here and go through every sheet of paper on this table and you'll find it. And there it was. And see, she know I just write notes. When I hear it, I start writing it down. And come to realize something that I had been afraid to deal with for a long time because I didn't want to upset folks, you know, and have folks looking at me all crazy, but it doesn't matter. You have to teach and minister what God has put in your spirit. Because if you don't, then you'll lose it.
Amen. Amen.
And the last thing you want to do is lose what God has blessed you with.
Amen.
And what I found out is that we fail to realize and we forget that sickness and disease came into this world through Him. Until He did what He did in the garden, there was no sickness.
Amen.
And there was no disease. He could have lived forever. But He created an atmosphere of sickness and death.
Yeah.
In the garden when He didn't have to.
Right.
And because of what He did, He produced a pattern that traveled all down through history. And He left a legacy that could not be destroyed even today. What He did was He created something in our bodies that would take things that we eat, things that we drink, things that we have done, and use it against us at later dates. I know what I'm talking about. And use it against us at later dates. Folks have diabetes because of their sugar. Well, sugar comes from what? What you eat. Or what you drink. Food and drink. And see, the problem with that is God said you could eat anything you want to eat in the Bible.
That's what He said.
However, you'll find out that you cannot do it. because it affects you in the wrong way. It might not do it then when you started, but now that you're in your 50s, now it's affecting your body in a different way because your body no longer produces what it produced when you were 20.
Come on now.
Amen.
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 This was all pre-ordered, pre-planned, and prophesied by the old boy. And see, you have to remember something. He was first natural.
Uh-huh.
Right. We were talking last week, we were talking about Romans, in the 8th chapter of Romans, and we was talking about, I was showing you in the book of Romans how there's two people in you.
Yeah.
There's the your nature,
yeah.
And then there's the nature of God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. Well, we assume that you cannot serve God and you cannot serve the devil. Well, you don't serve him.
Amen.
If you serve God.
Right.
But you can still serve God and serve you.
That's right.
Oh, you know you hear me. You can serve you. That's why we're past peace talking about you don't come to church or you don't go to church when you don't feel like it. Or you don't honor God when God tells you that. Or you don't love your neighbor like God tells you. Or you don't treat people the way God intended you to treat them. Because you made up in your mind.
Ah. Come on now.
Everything we go through is an experience. Mm-hmm. We can either learn from it.
Come on.
Or not.
Come on.
Let's look at Genesis 2 and 7. Genesis 2 and 7. Remember, when Adam came, what? Sickness and disease. I'm going to run through some stuff. Let's see. Let's look at some of the other things that happened. Abraham disobeyed God from the beginning.
Yeah.
Producing what? The pride of life.
Uh-huh.
He lied about Sarah being his wife.
Uh-huh.
So did Adam.
Uh-huh.
God, the woman you gave me.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Yeah. Come on.
If you hadn't gave it to me, we wouldn't have sinned.
Come on now.
Right.
Abraham slept with Hagar. He didn't have to. It was the lust of his flesh.
Amen.
He probably got tired of looking at Sarah. See that she was pushing him anyway. You pushing me, and I'm looking at Hagar. And then, to make what matters even worse, God gave his flesh the ability to reproduce. Gave him just what he wanted. David did the same thing. God gave him what? Just what he wanted.
Yep.
He was lusting after and he got Bathsheba. How did he get her? Through murder. These are all things that has to do with the old nature.
Uh-huh.
Don't matter how much you know God, how much you can speak in tongues, how much of knowledge or understanding you have, you will deal with your nature.
Amen.
There's no way around it.
Right.
And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God breathed into his life, into him, and gave him life, God placed himself in him.
Yes, he did.
He didn't just blow at him.
Come on.
He had to give him life.
Uh-huh.
He made his flesh alive. So he had the ability, the same as we do. We have the right to chew the tree that's in the center of the garden, which is the tree of life. or we have the right to choose a tree of good and evil, which we already know we're not supposed to touch.
My Lord, my
and you already know if you get close to it,
yeah.
You're going to touch it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord. I know. I've been in some situations that only I could have got me in.
Man.
I didn't need no help. Satan sat back and looked at me and said, man, you good at what you do. I am so proud of you. Because at least you didn't blame me for it. No, I don't have to blame you because I know I did it. See, that was the difference between David and the rest of them. He knew he screwed up.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And he was willing to sacrifice what he got out of it to get his life back. Sometimes you have to sacrifice to get your life back.
Amen.
So, you know, David went through all this, and then we have to look at what Adam did, and then what Jesus did by suffering 39 stripes, save one. Well, this morning I was laying there for a lady to be laid down. I love my wife. She take good care of me. I fuss at her. I said, hey, you're so mean. But if she don't be, I'm not going to listen. If she talked to me real sweet, I'm just going, okay. But while I was laying there, I was talking to God about the same one. Now I heard all these different things about why there was 39 stripes, save the one. But God pointed something out to me this morning. It was important that it was only 39 stripes. You know, every known disease, and even those that are coming up new and afresh, are in those 39 stripes that Jesus bore on his back. You notice he bore them on his back. Do you know that when he began to show the wounds, he only showed the wounds in his hands? He never showed the wounds on his back.
My Lord.
Because I guarantee you, there were no wounds on his back. Because it was important that they be healed.
Yeah.
So that we can understand that there is healing in the power of God.
Oh, man.
The same one, which there was no 40, was because if it had been 40, then it wouldn't have been about what the 39 represented. It would have been about trial and testing. And we know Jesus didn't die for trial and testing. He died and rose to save a sinful man.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
So it was important that it was 39 and not 40. There was so much going on. There's so much going on in this Bible that we need to ask God to give us understanding of, because it's for us.
Right.
I found out things that I went through with my feet, which represented things attacking my walk. I went through with my hands, things which were attacking my words. Different things. And I'm dealing with things with my head now, attacking the mindset, trying to influence me and stop me from studying and meditating on the things of God like I normally do.
Amen.
It's an attack. It's an all-out attack, and we have to attack back.
Right.
And the way we attack back is by realizing who we are in God and trying to bring, with the power of God, bring it under subjection.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Go to 3:15. Thank you. You're going to have to leave me. I appreciate it. 3:15, Genesis. Mm. I love this verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, no, it's not talking about Satan, because Satan don't have no enmity against God. Only one person has enmity against God, and that's the man. The Bible tells us that the old nature has enmity with God. The word with in the Greek is translated in God. Enmity is translated hatred. So it's very possible that you and your nature can hate God. Well, how can you hate God? You can hate God by denying the faith that God has placed within you, by not doing what the Bible has told us to do. And I will put, God said he was going to do it. He said he was going to do it. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Well, we know that it's impossible. Well, they teach against it. They say that Satan can have babies, but he cannot. There's so many, you know, they got all these what do you call these shows that are on now where they go and find all these ghosts.
Oh, paranormal.
Paranormal. We was at the doctor's office last week, and I decided I'm going to go to the bathroom before the doctor get in. I'll go to the bathroom, and so there was an older guy standing there, and he said the daughter was in the bathroom. So I'm like, oh, my God, got to go. You know you got to go. You don't want to start dancing. So you just kind of just stand there and bounce up against the wall. Out of the blue, he starts talking about me, about ghosts.
Uh-oh.
About a friendly ghost that's in his house. I'm not lying to you. About a friendly ghost that's in his house who had put pillows all around his daughter's bed to protect her as she fell out of the bed. Of course, I'm standing there. And I told her, I said, if I open my mouth, they're going to end up throwing us out of here. And I need what I'm getting today. So I just stood there, and I listened to his ghost stories. So I finally asked her, I says, have you ever seen one? Well, no. Okay. He said, well, why would you ask me that? I said, well, I've never tend to believe anything that I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the pillows had to get there somewhere. Okay. I was praying for his daughter to come out of that restroom. Please let her come out of the restroom. Do you know that man talked about ghosts? They just happened to be in a room next to me, and I could hear him talking about ghosts the whole time I was waiting to go in with the doctor. Because people are fixated on things that's not going to help preserve them.
Amen.
The seed of the man has hatred with the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman that I'm talking about is the seed of Mary.
Right.
See, this is prophetic. It's talking about the seed of Mary. It's talking about Jesus. God is saying, listen what I'm telling you. What you have done has caused a bigger problem for you
then you realize, because now you're going to have a problem with my son.
Yeah.
That you never really were supposed to have.
Because I'm going to make sure you understand that, because this is what God showed me. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, and he jumped, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost, because they were in the presence of the King.
Yes.
That was the natural realizing that the spiritual was here. Folks, we're in a battle.
Yes.
We are in a battle. It's a warfare. Go to the next one, son. This is 1 Corinthians 15:44. See, we can research the scripture. And see, the Bible says, search scripture, for in them you think you have everlasting life. What it's saying is, people find stuff in scripture and they think that they're supposed to live forever.
Right.
It is sown a what? Natural body. It is raised. That goes to what we just got to talking about, John the Baptist and Jesus. Because John wasn't born, wasn't conceived like Jesus. But he jumped in his mother's womb at the presence of the supernatural. It is sown, which means it is implanted, a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a
spiritual body.
That's talking about us. We are a natural body. And once we accept God in our lives, we also become a spiritual body.
Come on now.
The Bible tells us that the works of the flesh are, but the fruit of the Spirit, letting you know that flesh is warring against spirit. It tells us that, doesn't it? For the flesh war against the, and the spirit against the
flesh.
Because they're warring against each other.
Right.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made. What was he made? He was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a
spirit.
Why does it use the name Adam for Jesus? But because it wants you to know that there is an abiding in you of the first man and the second man at the same time. That the second man, Adam, which is spirit, is a life-giving spirit, which comes to tear down that which is dead.
Yes.
And to let us know that, why do you think we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us? The word strengthen means to enable. That means we can press when we don't feel like pressing. That means we can pray when we don't feel like praying. There are things that we do that are supernatural that we wouldn't normally do because we have the supernatural in our lives. How be it that was not first, which is what?
Spirit.
It wants you to know that
the spirit or the power, that which was Christ, wasn't first.
Come on now.
Adam reigned from Genesis till Jesus came. He reigned. Guess how long he reigned? He reigned till Jesus got up off the grave.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
He reigned. He reigned in the garden. When Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Adam still reigned.
Yeah.
Say, well, how, you can't prove that. Don't have to. Scripture says, Jesus said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. What was that?
Human.
That was a human tendency. Mm-hmm. That was part of his human nature.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. But then that which was spiritual,
come on now.
Jehovah said, but Father, not my will, not the old man's will, or not the old man's nature, but your will, your nature.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So let's be about it.
Amen.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
And that's the same way we have to feel. We have to get it done.
Amen.
So as we represent God and who we are and what we are, and we resist. The Bible says resist the devil. But see, folks don't look at the underlying thing, what it means. It means resist the adversary.
That's right. That's who he is. Yep.
Every morning I get up, I just dive in the back. Every morning. Every morning. I battle. At this time in my life, my wife has taken me to the doctor. To my doctor's visits. There are times my car absolutely will not move out of my driveway. Because I'm being safe, Sister Gwen. And then there are those times where I just don't care. I got something to do and I'm just going to do it. But I take a chance. My main priority is that I don't jeopardize anybody else's life.
Amen. Amen.
Because I want to do what I want to do. Especially when I already know what I'm up against. And I know what I'm up against is not out there. What I'm up against is in here. And it seems like every time you defeat one, there's another one standing by to take its place.
Right.
But you know what you're supposed to learn from the one you defeated? That the next one you can defeat too.
Come on.
Amen.
Exactly. Yes.
I have to learn that.
Yes.
The next one. Yes. Remember the first man is of the what? Earth. He's just as earthy as he want to be. Ask me how I know. Been there, done that. Be trying to forget. He won't let you forget.
Amen.
He'll take you back a lot of places that you don't want to go back to. Why do you think Paul said what he said? Forgetting those things which are behind me. Because if I don't forget and press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ, or press toward the supernatural calling, which is in Christ, then I'll never comprehend what is the blessing
now.
And the authority of God.
That's where I am.
And we have to tell ourselves we've come too far to miss out on what God has promised us. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Don't nobody know what God promised you but you.
Amen. Amen.
I've been prophesied to a whole lot of times, but they still ain't figured it out. You know why? Because I'm still working on it.
As long as I'm still working on it, I know they haven't figured it out yet. Go ahead, sir. I really started to thank God for these screens.
There you go.
Another verse, or did I miss it? Should be one more. There we go. This is the part, the toughest word in that whole verse is steadfast.
Yeah.
It's steadfast. Because that means you can't look to the left or to the right. You can't look up. You can't look down. You got to keep your eye on the prize. But you can't keep your eye on the prize if you don't know what the prize is.
Amen.
Most Christians think the prize is a new house.
Uh-huh.
Or a new car.
Yep.
Or that husband or that wife or that boyfriend or that girlfriend. What's that thing on the gong show go? Boom. Found all that not to be true. Steadfast. Lord. Oh, Lord. Let me see that I write that down. Steadfast. What is steadfast? Steadfast means to be strong, courageous, unmovable, solid. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what?
Steadfast.
It's telling us a lot. And then it tells you, after you've been steadfast, don't get moved. When it's talking about being unmovable, it's talking about don't allow your mind to be moved. Right. Now, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because we separate ourselves from our blessings with our thoughts. So then he goes back and say, cast down every imagination. Yeah. That means that your imagination in the Greek means reasoning. Stop reasoning within yourself why you're in a situation that you're in.
Right.
I know y'all don't do that. I'm a man.
Wow.
I spent half my born again life, mother, trying to reason with myself, how'd you get here? And I reasoned myself into a bigger mess. I mean, bigger mess. And it says always, not sometimes.
Always. All the time.
Abounding means to be in excess or to super abound in the work of the Lord or in the ministry that God has placed in your life. Your ministry might not be up here preaching or teaching. Your ministry might just be to be happy.
Amen.
Or let somebody know that how great they are.
Amen.
Or how much you appreciate them. Or that you can encourage them. You know, or something that you do. You want to hear something funny? Sister Vanessa, you know, she keeps the buildings clean. You know what's one of my biggest joys a lot of time? To come in this building after she's finished cleaning this building. Because you know what? The smell that hits my nose makes my heart happy. I know that sounds crazy, don't it?
No.
It makes my heart happy. First thing I say to myself, Vanessa's been here. Because of the fragrance.
Yes.
And it's not so much just the fragrance, it's the joy that she has in doing it.
Amen.
That's called ministry.
Amen.
It is called ministry.
That's right.
Yes.
So if you find joy in everything that you do, regardless of what it is, you resist the old nature, and you are doing the work of the ministry.
Come on now.
Amen.
But you can't do it as long as you allow you to get in the way. It's like never tying your shoestrings and constantly tripping over your own shoes. It's like telling somebody, you know, you need to tie your shoestrings for your trip, and they look at you and laugh, and before they get 5 feet and trip over their shoestrings. And our Lord do it. Sometimes He'll tell us to tie your shoes.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't do it. Well, always abounding the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. How do you know? The word know is to understand. How do you know? Because you've already been there.
That's right.
You've already experienced it. You already went through it. You found out what the victory was by going through it.
Amen.
By encouraging yourself, by lifting yourself up in spite of the circumstance. Amen. You have to be determined. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, through your understanding and knowledge of what you've already experienced, that you're going to make it through this too.
Yes, yes.
Why? Because you made up your mind, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Because you know that what you're doing is not in vain.
Amen.
It is not in vain. You have no idea how many times this morning that I had already thought about lynching one of these pastors into this service this morning. I had already went eating my name over, we'll catch a tiger by the toe. Honest, I had already toe had got hooked, and that was Pastor Relf. Only he got off because I was determined to be victorious over what I'm dealing with.
Amen.
And see, you know, the good thing is, I know they all ready. Right? They all ready. They stay ready. They ready all the time. Don't let them fool you. They may act like they ain't ready, but they always ready. They can preach in the drop of a hat. Y'all look at, I ain't got no hat. But see, we're running this race together. That's where the victory is. That's how we learn to defeat the old Adamic nature, by coming together as the body of Christ. Everybody stand. We're going to pray this morning that this second man, Adam, which is supernatural, that's in our lives, going to teach us, give us the understanding and the knowledge that we might overthrow the first man, Adam.
Yes.
We know we can't rid of it, Father, because we have to live.
That's right.
But we can have victory over him.
Yes.
Because we already know that flesh and blood now going to inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And Father, we understand that the victory is in you.
Yes.
And not in us.
Yes.
So, Father, as we get ready to go to your throne room, I'm going to ask Pastor Keys to come and lead us through this prayer this morning.
Father, your word has said by one man sin came, and death by that sin. So, Lord God, you already revealed the source unto us, Lord God, But in that very same word, Lord God, you said you sent another one. Ah, one who was obedient. Ah, and that one came to restore that which was taken away by the murderer, Lord God. And Lord God, he has come to give us life. And we accept that life, Lord God. Ah, through your promised word, Lord God. Ah, Lord, even those, all those failed, Lord God, Lord God, you still came through them, Lord God, to rescue us, to deliver us, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for that deliverance. Right now, Lord God, our situations, Lord God, we look at them, Lord God, and they don't look good. They don't feel good, Lord God. But you're the mighty God, one who moves past feelings, moves past situations, moves past things that don't look good, because you are good, Lord God. We thank you for that goodness. We thank you for that abundant life, Lord God. We thank you for that salvation, Lord God, that overcomes death. Lord God, those things that we eat, Lord God. Lord God, you're still our blesser. You're still our provider. You're still our keeper, Lord God. We thank you that we're kept by your power in spite of what's going on in the world today, Lord God. We know man is running wild. But Lord God, you are the man tamer, Lord God. You came to give us power to put him under our feet, Lord God. Through the word of God, Lord. Lord God, continue to encourage us with your word, Lord God. Let us become hungry for that word of life, Lord God, that will keep us, Lord God. That will saturate our souls, Lord God, and give us the encouragement that we need. Lord God, you are the everlasting one, the eternal one. Lord God, the all-abounding one. We thank you for what you've already done, and we're thanking you right now in advance for what you're going to do for us, Lord God. Lord God, you are going to save us. You are going to heal us. You are going to deliver us. Why? Because your power is great. There's no power like your power. And we thank you for that power in Jesus' wonderful name.